Welcome to Opening the Door podcast. Join me as we unlock the door to our psychic and mediumship abilities. Happy Valentine's Day to those who do and don't celebrate. It's a day, isn't it? Grab yourself a little heart-shaped chocolate and enjoy no matter what. But today you'll hear a conversation I had with Daisy from Earth Angel Crystal. This was just a really wholesome conversation, and I think it's actually perfect for coming out on Valentine's Day because Daisy talks a lot about and emphasizes in this episode following your heart and how important that is, and also raising your vibration. And I think both of those things are just like perfect timing for February. Daisy also really touches on working with the angelic realm and what that is like. And I don't know, this feels like a really good, warm, feel good episode for February. I know like February can sort of feel like a drag. Sometimes it is cold. We're sort of waiting for spring if you're in the northern hemisphere like I am and like many listeners are. And yeah, I don't know. I just think this one is a good episode to warm you up, help you feel the love, give you some good tips on raising your vibration, maybe working in that angelic realm if you wish to do that, and getting some really good tips and tricks and all the good stuff from Daisy. So enjoy the episode and remember, don't be afraid to open your door. Today, we're welcoming Daisy to Opening the Door. Daisy is the owner and founder of Earth Angel Crystal in New York City, is a fifth generation energy healer and medium through her maternal lineage. Daisy experienced angelic encounters at the age of 6 years old. She works closely with the angelic realm and is blessed with the ability to see, feel, hear, and sense spirit. Along with channeling messages from higher dimensional realms, Daisy facilitates energy healing sessions, also known as chakra balancings, to help remove energetic imbalances in the body. She helps align people with their higher selves and purpose. Daisy is a certified Reiki master, angel guide, crystal practitioner, and body worker. Daisy was recently interviewed by NBC New York and featured in Time Out New York and the Queen's Ledger. Daisy, welcome to Opening the Door podcast.
Thank you, my love. It's so great to be here.
I'll just shout out Juan from Third Eye Sight real quick, who connected us and, suggested you as a guest. And I'm so happy to, you know, be connected with you now and ask you all the questions.
Thank you. And yes, thank you, Juan Francisco. I love you so much.
Yay. So tell me a little bit about your personal spiritual journey. Where did you start in all of this?
Well, I actually started my spiritual journey when I was a little girl. So my mother is very spiritual. My household was very spiritual. And so the spiritual world and everything to do with the other side was just very normal in the household. It wasn't anything that was off topic or anything that had any kind of stigma related to it. It was honestly, after every conversation, it always ended with, did you see that spirit? Did you hear that spirit? Did you see that? It was just very second nature. And so I just feel in my upbringing, it was just something that was there. There's not even a separation. It just is what it is in terms of the spiritual realm.
So cool. So first of all, I love that. I think that is such a cool and maybe a unique experience if some people are listening. Some people have the opposite of that growing up. So I think that is really cool that you were able to experience that growing up. So how did you get focused on what you wanted to focus on in your spiritual work?
Well, it honestly started with, I would say, just me not being ready. I feel that people don't realize that even though I've had these experiences and I was in a household that was super spiritual, obviously when you're a little girl, you don't know what's happening, right? You're a little child, you don't know what it is. I honestly was the child that had the imaginary friends, or I was able to see spirit with my physical eyes, but also my spiritual eyes. But at that age, you don't know what that is. You think, oh, everyone sees this. Everyone can hear them. And so it really wasn't until I got a little bit older, I would say maybe around 12 or 13, that I realized, oh my goodness, like this isn't something that everyone can see and sense and feel. And so at that point, also that was the point where I wanted to have boyfriends and I was dating. And so my focus didn't become on spirit, but rather became on just having the human experience and just being a preteen, a teenager, and going from there. So I would say that, you know, just for the audience to understand that even though my household was very spiritual, if I wasn't ready, then if spirit wasn't going to be able to link and communicate in with me the way that it has now. And so that development really occurred when I had gotten married and I had my children out in Long Island. So I'm born and raised New Yorker. And we moved to Long Island to raise the children and to have that so-called experience, right? The house, the kids, the marriage, the whole thing. I was an architect in my past life here on Earth. So I was an architect. I went to architecture school. And so that's what I was doing. I was traveling the world. I was building buildings. I was on construction sites. But again, during this time that I was in Long Island, something interesting happened. I was more in the silence. I was more in the quiet. I was meditating a lot. I was in my backyard hugging trees, walking barefoot, grounding underneath the stars, speaking to the heavens. So I was going through all of this, these things that I was just being even more pulled and guided towards, but I had no idea that was going to lead to what was my spiritual awakening, what I call my reawakening. And so that happened during the pandemic. So as the world was shutting down, I felt that I was shutting down. I started feeling the emptiness in the air. I started feeling the sadness. People were being quarantined. There was a lot of lives that were lost. And I just remember crying and from my heart, just sending out a prayer to God, to my angels, and saying to them and asking them how. I know I have to help them, I just don't know how. And so I remember falling asleep, and when I woke up, my guardian angel was by my bed, and I felt him, I saw him, and I heard him. And he said to me, and I say he because he has a male energy, you know, angels are androgynous, there's no male or female, but he I know it's a he by based off of his male energy. And so he said that I wasn't doing what I came here to do. And so it was time for me to help. And that's when all the flashes of all these visions I've had, these experiences that I had no idea what they were at the time, that's when I realized, oh my goodness, this is not just my mother or my grandmother or the women in my family, but this is me too.
Mm. Oh, wow. What a cool story. Wow. So speaking of sort of, you talk about your grandmother and your mother in that story, you are, and also in your bio, a fifth generation healer. Can you tell me a little bit more about that, the lineage that you come from, and why do you feel that this work is sort of baked into that lineage of yours?
Yeah, I say that when I say, you know, I'm a fifth generational healer, because that sounds so loaded, right? But what I'm really saying is that I come from a line of spiritual women in my family that they were able to heal people in one way, shape, or form. So my mother, for example, is also a medium, but she's also very, very gifted psychic. And so her mother was also very gifted psychic, but their gifts are different. So, you know, there's clairvoyance, which is the ability to see with your spiritual eyes or even with your physical eyes. There's clairsentience. So there's all these clairs that people are now becoming more familiar with. But the lineage is that it's about healing, right? So people, for example, I think of, you know, singers, they have this platform, and so they can use their words to heal people through their music. So for me, it's the energy healing, it's the mediumship. For my mom, it's the mediumship and the tarot. For my grandma, it was the ability to sense spirit. For her mother before her, it was the ability to use medicinal medicines. So it was herbs. And so even though I never met in this physical earth plane my great great grandmother, she actually visits me in spirit. And so she comes and she shows me medicines, herbs, and she tells me things like, if I'm feeling energetically off or physically off, I will have a dream or go into meditation, and she will come with herbs to show me. And so, yeah, so when I say a healer, because I know that that in and of itself can be a loaded word, what I'm saying is that throughout the bloodline of the females in my family, it has been just spiritually based to help heal in one way, shape, or form. And so I think that that is really amazing and a blessing. A lot of people ask me, do you think that in order for me to be a medium or a psychic, I have to be born with it? Or is it something that you can learn? And I say that it's both. I honestly don't know what my full opinion is. I believe that we are all spiritual beings and that we're having a human experience here. I believe that you can develop it. You can develop because it's more about getting into the silence and getting into your connection back to source, whether that be God or the universe or your angels or your team of light. So I say that, you know, I don't want people to get caught up in the lineage, like, oh, well, I don't know what my lineage is, but it's more about if you don't know, but you feel in your heart that there's something, let's say if you feel that you're spiritual, but your mother or father isn't, but somehow down in your spiritual lineage, you feel like I may have had an aunt or great grandmother who was spiritual. Most likely than not, if you feel that in your blood, it's, I feel that that would be accurate because this isn't just a few select people that have these gifts and abilities, but I truly believe it's everyone, but it depends on how sensitive and open they are to communicating with the other side, how in tune they are with that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I love what you're saying about lineage too. And I think probably in everybody's lineage, you could go back and find a psychic or a medium or a witch or, you know, some sort of wise woman who was doing this work. Or if you don't know, I don't know. I just don't think we know all the details of our family lineage. And, you know, people could have been doing this work in secret and it might have never been written down or never been talked about and stuff like that. So yeah, I like what you're saying a lot about not getting too caught up in.
Because I feel that part of the irony is that part of people's development. So I also mentor, I also train, but a lot of people get caught up with the labels. They get caught up with, am I a medium? Am I a psychic? Am I this generation, that generation? What lineage am I? When really that, again, that's more ego-based. That's just getting into the trying to explain it. And when I believe that these are things that can't be explained, and that's okay. If you're experiencing, having an experience, and you know that it's for the highest, greatest good, and it's happening, there's no, to me, there's no point in trying to get the ego or thinking mind involved saying, well, is that real? Or did that really happen? Or am I crazy? Or, but really to trust and go with the flow and go with what you're receiving. Because if it's coming from your heart and it's coming from a great intention, that is always going to steer you and lead you to the right direction. It's never going to lead you wrong. So whenever people are embarking on a big life decision, and they contact me and they're like, Daisy, I feel like my head is saying this and my head is just so strong, but my heart is saying the complete opposite. I always say, go with your heart, because that's always going to lead you to the right path. And even if the worst thing that happens is a no, or if it doesn't work out, that's going to now give you the tools, give you the strength, give you the foundation to then move forward into a new door or a new opportunity that opens up. And so that's why I really believe that, you know, when it comes to spirituality, mediumship, development, it's all about truly getting into the silence and listening to the heart and the solar plexus. So getting into that quiet sense of self.
Totally agree. And so you sort of touched on this, making big life decisions. So it sounds like you in the past, however many years, made a big life decision from, I'm not sure if you still do architecture work, but you made this decision. Now you have your crystal shop and you do these healings. Can you tell me a little bit about what that transition and that decision making was like for you?
Oh, it was a nightmare. So it's like, if you ever see those memes, and those memes are like, oh, what you think a spiritual awakening is, and you think of rainbows and butterflies, and then you have that like funny picture where it's just like you're being dragged through the dirt. That's exactly what it was, at least for me. Because remember, at that time, you know, we all have ego. So even though I'm a medium, or people say psychic, I like to use the term medium. We could talk about that later. But again, psychic medium. The point is that this awakening, this thing that happened to me, it was about learning to quiet the ego, and the ego can be very loud. And so I was in a career that was making a lot of money, that I was traveling, that I was doing all the things I loved. I had everything seemingly on paper, right? So we had the house and the kids and the traveling, the job, the career. But deep down, I was empty. And I felt hollow, and I felt that something was missing. And I felt that my purpose was to be of service to others and to help others. And so my ego mind would say, well, you are helping others. You're building buildings, and this is a way to help people. And, you know, I was on construction sites, and I was a lot of times mitigating project managers and contractors and conflict. So that was a form of helping, right? But for me, it was something deeper. And so I just didn't know what that was. And this was many, many, many years and moons ago. But when I finally decided, when that happened, where my angel was on the bed and said that I haven't been doing what I came here to do, and I saw the flashes, I also received a clairaudient message from him that said I was going to sell my house, and that I was going to move back to the city, and that I was going to open up my business, and that I was going to open up my healing center and my crystal shop and begin to help people. And so I remember when I first heard that, I was just kind of in shock. I was like, but at the same time, deep down, it resonated and it felt so true to my heart that I remember when I received this message, no one was home. And when my husband came home, I remember thinking to myself, he's going to think I'm losing it. I'm crazy. And, but I'm going to tell him this message that we have to sell our home and move to the city. And so I did just that. And it must have been an angel that was with him, because my husband's such a type A that he literally just looked at me and said, I guess that's what we have to do. It was as if deep in his core, or his angels were even letting him know, like, yes, this was the path for us, not just for me, but for us, our family, right? I had two children. I have two children. So, and they were babies, even more babies than they are now. So it was a big transition. It was scary. So I resigned from my 18-year career, and we sold our house in 2 days. We moved back to the city. I relocated the kids from school. They were halfway in the middle of school. This all happens in the winter months. And then here we are now. And so I opened up my practice officially in Long Island City, Queens, New York, about a year and a half ago now. And just 6 months ago this year, I relocated and we just expanded to a bigger space. So the space I originally had was just this tiny, tiny little space where I could only see one person at a time. The room was so small. And I just remember praying to my angels and saying, angels, if this is what I'm meant to do, I need a bigger space with windows where I can host events and I can train and teach people. And a year to the day, we're here in our new location. So it's just truly been a blessing, and it's things you can't explain. It's from a movie, like I tell people, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. Oh my goodness. How incredible. Good for you for like really listening. And I mean, the message you got was really strong, right? I mean, it was like really in your face with your angel being there in front of your eyes. And yeah, also what a blessing for your husband to just be like, all right, let's do it. Like that is awesome.
Right? Because you don't know how others are going to react, or, and it does. I remember my family members, some of them that are not so spiritual, like my brothers, they don't really have the spiritual gene, so to speak. They were like, are you going crazy? Like, are you okay? What's happening? So again, you have the fears and projections from other people, and then you have what you know to be true in your heart, and then you have the guidance that's coming in, and then you have to make a choice. And so that's also part of the trainings I do with my customers and clients. I say, you know, other people, when they come to you with negative, that's a projection. It's a fear. It's an illusion of fear. So if you follow that, then you're just following the cycle that never gets broken. You're following other people's ideas, other people's notions of who you should be, what you should be doing. But really what you should be doing is going inward, going within, inside. So that way, what's happening is that you're true to yourself. That's when the alignment happens. That's when the peace happens. That's when the openness happens. The flow happens with spirit and with self. It's really truly self-discovery.
Oh, yeah, such a good point there. Like, rewind if you're listening, just like back 15 or 30 seconds and listen to that again, because that is just such good advice. So obviously you've had a few angelic encounters in your life. And I'm wondering if you can just sort of tell us a little bit more about what those are like. So you just told us about one. In your bio, you mentioned having your first sort of angelic encounter at 6 years old. So I'm wondering if you can, yeah, just expound upon a little bit what those encounters are like and how they feel and stuff like that.
Sure. So a lot of people ask me and they're like, is it scary, or the spirits scary, or the angels? Or, you know, if someone says I'm religious and you know, I was taught you're not supposed to speak to angels, or it's against the religion. And so I truly believe, you know, religion and spirituality, they're two separate things. When I'm having an angelic encounter or an encounter with spirit, because sometimes it's loved ones that come through on the other side, what you feel is just a lightness. You feel a change in the air. So if you're clairsentient, you feel that change in the air. It's a shift in energy. For me, it feels very light and airy, almost as if you're floating. Again, everyone can have different experiences what that feels like. For me, that's what it feels like. I also tend to just see lots of white light, lots of bright light. So it could be yellow light, it could be white light. Sometimes they're colors, the colors of the rainbow. But what I feel is nothing but peace and love. It's just a warm blanket of love. And so some of the angels are, and even the archangels that I've worked with, they feel very differently. Some come through, again, utilizing, they know how to work with my clairs. So they know if whether or not they're coming in clairaudiently or clairvoyantly or clairsentiently, but usually they're working with all of my clairs. And so in that case, when they come to me, they can show me an image of them. And so sometimes it's a little difficult to see their face per se, because it's always surrounded by light. It's always like a bright light. Or if I can see the outline of their face, I won't be able to see the details of every crevice, but I can see their so-called spirit body, what they're trying to. So I want to go back a little bit. So your angels and guides, because now they're coming in to have me rephrase this, they will always connect with you in a way that they know resonates with you. So for me, I already have built up my spirit dictionary. And so they know when I want to feel or sense something with strength and power, they know what my symbols are. So they will usually come through with symbols, but they can also come through with an image. And so when I'm dealing and working with angels, the angelic realm, they do both. And so some of my encounters, just it's just a piece that comes through. It can be their guidance in their voice, what they're telling me to help other people with. Sometimes they'll show me different planets. So I've been on different planets. They will show me an archangel that governs or reigns over a certain planet. They'll show me, like, Archangel Michael works very closely with me. Archangel Uriel is another one. Archangel Raphael, Archangel Gabriel. So they frequently work with me in my healing sessions. And so each one of them will come in with something different, or a different message, or a different imagery. It all depends on the person that they're trying to work through me to help them, to help that person. So I would say it's very unique towards who I'm working with. But if they're working on me, because that's happened where, let's say if I'm in need of energetic clearing or healing, they will come to me in a way that resonates with me. So whether that be they just surround me with their energy, or whether they speak to me with their voice to provide me with wisdom and guidance, or just comfort. Does that answer your question? It's a very
good question,
because there's just so many different ways that they like to communicate. But the experiences are always nothing but love and nothing but light and nothing but truly feeling hopeful and rejuvenated after each experience. It's truly a blessing, but also very beautiful.
Yeah, and it sounds super powerful. So do you work with, I don't know, do you channel angels for other people? Is this mostly your personal work? Can you tell us more about sort of your working within and with the angelic realm, like how you do that for your customers or for yourself as well?
Sure. So I believe in spiritual maintenance. So for me, I work with lots of customers and clients that come in, even if people aren't coming in for healings, but they're coming into the shop. Usually, I would say 99% of the time, they're in need of healing. So even though I do sell crystals in my healing center, it's more than just a crystal shop. I have crystals that I source, you know, I travel the world to get my beautiful crystals, but it's more than that. It's about the healing. So what I'm focusing on is working directly with their angels, with their guides, with their helpers, with archangels to help facilitate those healings. So in my chakra balancing sessions, I always begin with prayer, and I begin with incensing and saging and just clearing out the energies of the space that we're going to be working in. So I have a dedicated space that I call my healing room. And so clients and customers will go in there. But before they do, we actually start out in what I call the white room. So in my healing center, I have a white room that's where I kind of set the tone of what it is that they might experience. So a lot of people, when they are experiencing angels for the first time, they might feel tingling, pulsating, they might feel hot, they might feel cold. Some people actually also feel a little lightheaded, right? Because the vibration is so high. And so when we go into the white room in my healing space, it's really to just let them know that whatever sensations and energies they're experiencing, it's all in love and light, and it's all natural, and it's natural for them. So everyone will experience something differently. From that point, after we've welcomed in their angels and guides, we've set the intention. So for me, setting intention is before anything. That's what we do, because we want to make sure that we're activating the throat chakra, but also the heart chakra. And so we're speaking from our heart, which is for good, for the highest, greatest good of healing. That's the intention. And then from that point on, we go into the healing room. And there, I would say 99% of the people say they feel the shift in energy so much that they do feel a little lightheaded, or at first, until they get acclimated to the energy, but then they just feel love and warmth. And a lot of people cry like immediately, because it's just an unconditional love that just surrounds them. And then from there, I begin with breath work exercises. I begin with activating or helping them get in tune to their own energy centers, their chakras. We activate those, and then eventually they lay down on my healing bed. And then more prayer, more clearing work happens. And then eventually crystals get placed on the body to help raise those energies in their body, in their physical body and energetic body. And then that's when guides come through, angels come through, and they work with me. So they're blending with me. So what's happening is their energies are blending with my energies. And what the client is feeling is actually the energy of their angel and guide. So I like to let people know it's as if I'm a straw. And so the divine guidance or God or whatever, however people like to describe source, that loving healing energy comes through the straw. And then I'm just at the other end, allowing this energy to go directly where it has to go for the client.
So lovely. Yeah, I love that description as well, because I think it's such an important thing to remember in mediumship and any type of healing work too, is like you are the vessel that is carrying it. Or like just helping to move it to where it needs to go.
It's just a flow of energy. And so, you know, a lot of people ask me, well, what's the difference between Reiki and the chakra balancing? Well, it's truly, again, I feel like it boils down to the intention, right? So they're both healing modalities where you're shifting and clearing and moving energies. The thing with my chakra balancings, however, is that we go a little deeper, because now we're calling in the angels, we're calling in the guides, we're calling in their loved ones. And so during those sessions, at the ending of the sessions is where I do the debrief, and I let people know what spiritual messages came through and from whom. So whether it was a guardian angel, an archangel, or even their loved one that came through that was with me, assisting me with the healing session, I will let them know who it was and what messages they have for them. So the sessions truly are, you know, it starts out what seemingly seems like a physical clearing, a physical healing, then goes into to deeper aspects of self and spiritual work. And then finally, the message.
It sounds so, so lovely. Like if anybody's in the New York area, go hit Daisy up because this sounds amazing. So you're tapping into really powerful energy, or you, if we use your analogy, you are the straw for a really powerful energy in terms of the chakra balancing and, you know, working like in conjunction with working with, you know, this sort of more angelic realm. What are some things that you do to help yourself like really tap into that energy and be like the clearest, most best straw that you can be for that work?
That's a great question. So, and this is also what I teach and mentor. It's really about getting into the silence. It's really about learning to heal the inner child, the inner wounds. It's about meditating. It's about journaling. It's about doing and trying your best to be better than yesterday. So remember, walking a spiritual path doesn't mean that all your problems go away and all your challenges go away. What it means is that if you fall, you never fall as low as you ever did, because now you have the tools to be able to pick yourself back up again, because you realize you're not doing it alone. And that you have your angels and guides and helpers to assist you with even the most mundane everyday tasks. So the messages that are coming through from angels and loved ones is that they're not gone. They're here, and they're here to love and support us. And no, we're not bothering them. They actually love for us to ask for their guidance and help, because now they're evolved, they're evolving. And so their duty and task on the other side is also to continue to help and contribute, so that they too can ascend. So a lot of people think that once you pass on the other side, that's it. You get your wings and you're an angel. It doesn't work that way. So whatever challenges or someone went through here on earth, and if they didn't fulfill their purpose or their divine blueprints and they cross over, now they have a choice to either continue working in the spiritual realm to help those here that are experiencing things similar to them, or they can come back and reincarnate and do it all over again. So there's lots of things that go on the other side, but what really happens is that they're here to support us and assist us and help us and love us and guide us. And so for me, getting into the silence, I have to meditate every day. If I don't meditate every day, I just don't, especially with all the energies I do, it's not conducive to my work. I feel that I am the brightest and the best I can be when I am clear, and how I clear myself is through meditation. So I tend to do 30-minute meditations. On a great day, I can do an hour. So I really go deep into my meditations. On days where I'm a little off, like today I have a cold, I did a 15-minute meditation, only because I also know my body and energy. And so I'm also giving my physical body that compassion, right? So it can rest and just know, okay, it's just time to rest. But I really do my best to try to meditate every day. I also like to laugh, and I like to have fun, and I like not to take myself too seriously, because part of development spiritually and also working with higher realms and just with the other side is being in a state of higher vibration. That means laughing. That means helping where you can help, even if it's a good morning to someone, or opening up the door to someone, or giving someone a compliment. You know, a lot of people are struggling with the most basic and simple things. So anywhere where you can share your light and you can help someone, to me, that's just helping each other and helping the planet. And that's raising your vibration to becoming that bright light. So people think it's this, oh my gosh, I have to walk on water in order to be enlightened, in order. No, it really is simple acts every day. It's before you get up from bed, when your alarm goes off, instead of scrolling through Instagram or going on your emails or doing what you have to do in the ego, really putting your hands to your heart and thinking of all the things why you're grateful for even waking up that day. Just waking up with a sense of gratitude before your feet touch the ground. What are you grateful for? Did you wake up and feel refreshed? That's something to be grateful for. Did you wake up and have an amazing, beautiful dream? That's to be grateful for. Did you wake up and now and you have health? That's something to be grateful for. So for me, it's really getting in gratitude. It's getting in the silence through meditation. It's trying to help even when people are mean and people are grumpy and people don't say good morning. You can always say good morning and share your light. And so it's truly, to me, just the simple acts of kindness and generosity that really help me be the light that I am and that I'm trying to cultivate.
Yeah, I totally agree that gratitude is just so, I don't know, I just think it really does help raise everybody's vibration. And it feels so good to be grateful, even like it sounds so corny, but it really does. So I'm really glad that you touched on that, because I think it is really important part of this work, as well as like the inner child healing. Like, healing yourself helps you be an even more amazing, you know, conduit for spirit. So love that you mentioned that as well. And you might have already mentioned this, but can you tell us some of your favorite parts about your mediumship work, your angelic work, and maybe like one or two of your most memorable messages that you've received from your angelic work?
So I love, when it comes to mediumship, when it comes to healing, I just love that after at the end of a session, people feel hopeful and empowered, because that's exactly what you should feel out of an energy healing session or mediumship reading. I had people come to me and say that they saw a medium or they saw a psychic, and the person said that they were cursed and that they needed to give them $20,000 or they won't be healed, and they instill fear, and they, whether they're real, quote unquote, real mediums or psychics or not, I just think that is, that's obviously not filled with integrity. That's not filled with light. That's filled with corruption, and it's fear-based training, right? So what I love about working with higher dimensional beings, and the fact that I energetically work on myself a lot in order to be the best conduit I can be, is that it's just empowering and filled with love and light. And in terms of the own messages I've received, I feel like the reawakening was a very powerful one for me, because that was really determining my path now. It's now what I am doing. This is my job. This is my purpose. This is my blueprint. But another powerful experience I would say was of life saving. I had I would say maybe my mid 20s. No, I would say early 20s. I was in Atlantic City with family, and it was going to be my turn to drive. We were driving home. And so I just had this strong sense, this clear sentience, and saying, do not drive today. Do not drive. You're not going to be driving. And I remember on our way there to Atlantic City, it took very long. So I'm in the East Coast and we're going to Atlantic City. Sometimes it could be like a 3, 4, 5 hour drive, depending on the traffic. So I remember it was a long drive. And so people were taking turns driving. And so it was my turn to drive coming back home. And I just felt this strong sense, do not get behind the wheel. So the night before, I had received a dream. So my guides and angels do speak to me in dream state as well. And so I was in a car, and I saw that there was a gash, a big gash on the windshield, like a big crack on the windshield. And so that was the image I woke up with that morning. And so I had this feeling to not drive. And so I remember telling the people that I was with, guys, I'm not going to be able to drive today. And everyone thought I was either joking or I was being lazy, that I didn't want to drive. And I said, no, guys, I really can't do this. And so I remember some people being a little bit teed off, you know, but long story short, I didn't get behind the wheel. And I'm glad I didn't, because I wound up sitting on the passenger side of the vehicle. And after about an hour of driving, it was a super hot day. There was an enormous truck. I don't know how many wheels this truck had. I don't even know if there's something called a 16-wheeler, because that's what this thing looked like to me. But it was this massive truck. And then suddenly, I guess between the hot weather and the heat of the wheel on the pavement and truck going super fast. A wheel on the back of the truck just popped off. It popped and exploded, and the wheel hit the vehicle that we were in and cracked the windshield of the vehicle I was in the same exact formation that I saw in my dream. And the person behind the wheel was an experienced driver. So I wasn't an experienced driver at the time. And so that person was able to control the vehicle and maneuvered that car in a way that only an angel would. And we were all safe and we were all fine. But that, to me, was just a way where my angels, I truly believe they saved us. They saved my life. They saved everyone's life in that car that day.
Oh, wow. That's a really amazing story. I have a kind of a similar one. This happened when I was in, I don't know, I must have been between like seventh or eighth grade. And my mom was dropping me off at a friend's house, and she had meant to give me cash for something we were going to do. And I'd completely forgotten about that. And I got out of the car. I was sitting in the passenger's front seat. I got out of the car, and then when I forget things, usually they're just gone out of my brain. Like, I don't remember them until somebody actually like really reminds me. But in my head, I just heard, "You forgot the cash." And I was like, "Oh yeah." And instead of just my mom rolling the window down and giving me the cash through the window, I decided to open the door and get back in the car and sit down. And as I closed the door, sitting down, a car backed straight into us, like right into the passenger door that I would have been just standing at. And this is before like backup cameras were popular in cars. And I think I would have probably just been crushed between the two vehicles. But because I don't even know like what told me to just get back in the car instead of standing outside of it. But I really, a lot of the time, I think when I think about that story, I don't think about it that often. But I really do feel like that's kind of an angel story too.
That is an angel story. So that was your guardian angel that was speaking to you. And so your guardian angel's role is to protect you and guide you. And so, but at the same time, you have free will. So they won't intervene unless it's an emergency where you weren't meant to go that day. And so if you're in danger, they will then step in to protect you from that. So the fact that you had that experience and you've heard it and that came through for you, that just goes to show you how strong and how much love your angel has for you. You can work with him or her anytime you want.
Yeah, so cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing those stories with us. Let's pivot a little bit. Obviously, you do your crystal healing. You have your part of your business is your crystal shop. What are some of your personal favorite crystals? And like, what are the crystals that you're working with for yourself right now?
Oh my gosh, this is it's amazing because I'm so biased with crystals that it's like such a hard question. But my all-time go-to, and everyone that knows me knows, I always say citrine is my number one crystal. I just feel that citrine is just emblematic of who I am. I feel that, you know, citrine works on the solar plexus. So for one, me being an empath and medium and all these loaded terms people like to speak about, it works on your solar plexus, which is not just for confidence, but it's really for the development of the clear. So the solar plexus is really where the clears reside. So if you have that sense of self, that sense of compassion, that sense of worth, that sense of working on oneself, working in the shadows, that's all solar plexus work. So I love citrine for that it really works this area in the energetic body. But I also love the fact that it's reminds me of the sun. So citrine reminds me of the word citrus. It's citrus. So I think of happy. I think yellow. I think of the sun. I think of warmth. Whenever I do my healing sessions, I always I ask the angels and guides and loved ones to surround the client with the healing colors of the sun, the rays of the sun to help bring light and love into the recipients for them to receive what they need for the highest greatest good. So for me, citrine is just emblematic of that energy that I teach, that I try to instill in myself and to others that work with me. It's just happy crystal. I feel like the energy is very loving. It's very sweet. It's very kind. It's gentle, but powerful at the same time. And I think that's me. Like very gentle, but very powerful at the same time, very strong. And I mean that in every sense, like just like a strong, loving person and a strong, because, you know, I also feel that people feel like when you're spiritual, they're like, oh, I want a strong healing session. And that kind of turns me off a little bit, because it's not about that. They're going to receive what they need and how they need it. And their guides know that. That has nothing to do with me. That comes in from source, right? But I would say Citrine is my number one. But then again, I'm really, really in love with Garden Quartz. Garden Quartz, it's amazing. Oh, I love and hydro crystals. So and hydro crystals are crystals that have been formed billions and billions of years ago, and they have water inside of them that hasn't been solidified yet. So you can actually move the crystal and you can see water. And so I resonate deeply with water. That's how I cleanse and clear my energy. I love the ocean. I have a water goddess that works with me since I was a little girl. So the sun and water are just my totems, my symbols. And so any crystal that reminds me of water, I'm wearing a Larimar right now. And so this, again, it comes from the ocean. It comes from water in the Dominican Republic. So yeah, I feel blue crystals are my favorite. I feel that any crystal truly that makes me feel happy and recharged is really my favorite. It's just so hard to pick one. They're so beautiful.
Oh yeah. I love that. Yeah. I love Citrine also. I find myself liking to work with it as well. Oh, I love also water and sun, because I think I've said this in another episode too, but I think in spirituality, a lot of the time the moon gets a lot of attention. And I don't know, sometimes I just think it's important to also give props to the sun, who like gives us life force every day and grows our food. And, you know, it's so important.
Without the sun, we don't have life. And so, yes, everyone is about the moon. The moon, for me, it's always been about the sun. I even have in my living room at home, I have a photograph, a painting of the tarot card of the sun. And so it's just like a big sun with a little baby on the unicorn. And it's just amazing. So for me, the sun is very important, but it's also emblematic of me. I'm such a tropical bird. I'm such a summer. And so the sun for me is just revamping, recharging, energizing, growth, spiritual growth, but also growth developmentally here on earth, having this earth experience here, right? It's about sharing happiness and light to others. And so, yeah, to me, that's really important. And water is just cleansing and clearing. It just feels amazing.
Totally. Daisy, I have just loved this conversation so much. It's been so, so fun. I have one final question for you, and that is, how can someone who's listening right now to this podcast open their door up a little bit more to their natural psychic or mediumship abilities?
That's a great question. I feel for them to truly go inward, I feel like if you're listening, there's lots of projections out there, projections of who you were supposed to be, who you're meant to be, other people's ideas of what you should be. At the end of the day, you know what's best for you. You know yourself better than anyone else knows you, right? You know your deepest, darkest. You know what makes you happy, what makes you sad. Truly trying your best not to hide those flaws, because I feel that those seemingly flaws that you think you have, or those challenges you think you have, those are actually your greatest strengths. So if you can just switch your perspective and think of all the things that you seemingly don't like about yourself or seemingly wish to not speak about, and you really work at them and you gently, with compassion, chip at it or face those fears or face that head on. What that does is that just opens up your heart chakra to love, the energy and vibration of love, the energy and vibration of compassion. And when you do that for yourself, then you can be able to easily raise your vibration to meet that of your angels and guides and helpers and your intuition, because now you're operating at a higher vibration that they can understand. So remember, manifesting and wanting to manifest things, it doesn't come from fear and the energy of fear and the energy of hiding. It actually comes from the energy of love and compassion and understanding, at least of oneself. And so for those of you hearing, try to take the pressure off. You are you, and there is no one on this earth like you. And that's a gift. That's a blessing. So instead of trying to be like everyone else or fitting into other people's molds, just be you and not them, because that is your power. That is your gift. And when you begin to have that love for yourself, then and only then can you truly have that love for others. And then and only then can you truly develop deeper aspects of your spirituality and sense of self. But you have to know who you are first and be okay with it, warts and all.
Beautiful, beautiful advice, Daisy. Where can people find you if they want to learn more about your work, follow you on social media? Where can people find you?
Sure. So I'm on Instagram at daisy.earthangelcrystal. I just opened up a YouTube, so you can see some fun videos there. That's Daisy Earth Angel Crystal. And then, of course, my website is earthangelcrystal.com. And you can, yeah, I have a shop and energy healing center in Long Island City, Queens, New York. So follow me. And again, always follow your heart and trust your heart. It will lead you to the right place always.
Amazing, Daisy. Thank you so, so much for being here and sharing your wisdom and experiences with us.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity, Haley. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you love the podcast and listen on Apple, please be sure to rate and leave a review. If you want more from Opening the Door, follow along on Instagram at Opening the Door Podcast. Have a question about psychic work or psychic development? Email openingthedoorpodcast@gmail.com and you might have your question included in one of our future Q&A episodes.